Okay. This is a question from Bhakta Ketan of Nasik in Maharashtra in India. In the western part of India, especially Maharashtra, there are many saints. I'm not sure if this is what people are supposed to call them. Like Swami Samarth. Who's that Swami Samarth? I heard the name, what's the significance? Don't know. You're not from Maharashtra. Any idea? I've heard the name, but like that. There's Sant Dhyaneshwar and Giriraj Maharaj. Obviously not the ISKCON Giriraj Maharaj, whose followers are mostly Dhyaneshwar, Gyaneshwar. Mostly they call him, isn't it? Dhyaneshwar, there's that version of Gita, Gyaneshwari, is quite famous. I saw in Modasa, in the house we were staying in, there was Gyaneshwari Gita in Gujarati. So, these saints, their followers are mostly simple and poor villagers. His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu mentioned in www.thespiritualscientist.com that devotees are supposed to respect them and glorify them for whatever bhakti they are doing, although they're using chanting or glorification of the Lord as a tool to gain followers and ultimately make them mayavadis. But the problem in practical application is that if we respect them, then they will think that we are approving their activities. For example, most of their followers are vegetarian, but they feel that their tea does not break their fast on Ekadashi, so they consume tea on their fasting days also. Are these Maharajas with their sampradayas bona fide? If yes, then which sampradaya do they belong to? In most rural parts of Maharashtra, we don't have ISKCON centers, but we do have mutts of the above-mentioned personalities, so what should be our attitude toward the followers of the above-mentioned personalities? And what should be our approach to bring them to Krishna consciousness, as we don't have any ISKCON centers here? What are the do's and don'ts we should follow to bring them to the service of Srila Prabhupada, or if not, then at least to a bona fide guru parampara? Can we or do we have a website or any such means where it is clearly stated that XYZ mutt or sampradaya is bona fide or not bona fide, so at least we don't offend the ones who are outside ISKCON and belong to a bona fide sampradaya and do not promote, by respecting them, the bogus so-called spiritualist? I do not intend to hurt any devotee. My only motive is to seek the truth or clarity of thought for healthy spiritual progress. I'm not familiar with these sampradayas. Of course, we know about Tukaram and to some extent, and their followers. The others I'm not very familiar with. But even the whole Vaishnav Sampradaya stemming from Sant Tukaram, I'm not very familiar with it. I haven't spent much time in Maharashtra. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur commented, and Srila Prabhupada brought that comment into his own edition of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that that Tukaram was initiated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which chronologically that wouldn't happen, that can't happen, because in the sense of a personal initiation, in the physical presence of each other. It's a little difficult to say these things when we consider that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and great pure devotees are also transphysical. But you get what I mean, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared about 500 years ago, and Sant Tukaram, how many, 200 years ago? Something like that. So, I should have looked this up, but he said that in a dream or something like this, there was some Chaitanya Das Babaji, it seems, but he said that Tukaram was initiated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And certainly, although Tukaram did not have a rigid philosophical system, which is the hallmark of a sampradaya, one of the hallmarks of a sampradaya, certainly his abhyangas, what's that called? Abhangas? His abhangas, not abhyang, that means massage. Abhangas, that's from what I know, I've seen in translation, it appears to promote devotional service, pure devotional service. On the other hand, it does seem that their sampradaya is somewhat mixed up and influenced by Mayavad, although most of the people who are in that sampradaya, they wouldn't know the term Mayavad. That tends to happen unless there's a strong parampara with strong acharyas. Srila Prabhupada himself, from what I can see and understand, in relation to both the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya and Vallabh Sampradaya, which are two long-standing traditional Vaishnav Sampradayas, prominent in different parts of India, Srila Prabhupada, he courted friendship with them. He appreciated them, and he didn't criticize them for drinking coffee, for instance. The brahmanas who were invited to the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya, brahmanas who were invited to install the deities at ISKCON Hyderabad, Srila Prabhupada said that they were real brahmanas. They were very appreciative of Srila Prabhupada, and he was also appreciative of them. Even though undoubtedly they were, well, almost certainly coffee drinkers, and the Vallabh Sampradaya also tea drinkers, but Srila Prabhupada didn't make a very big issue. I mean, he didn't make any issue out of it, as far as I know. So this point, we should encourage whatever bhakti is there. This statement here, I don't follow exactly. Chaitanya Charanprabhu mentioned that the devotees are supposed to respect them and glorify them for whatever bhakti they're doing, although they are using chanting or glorification of the Lord as a tool to gain followers and ultimately make them Mayavadis. So I'm not sure from this statement whether you're saying that Chaitanya Charanprabhu said that even though they're misleading people, you should respect them, or whether he said that you should respect them and you are adding the comment that they're misleading people. But if they are misleading people, should that be pointed out or should it not be pointed out? Or should we just encourage the good things? I've discussed these points in a general way in this book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. Exactly how to implement or what preaching policy we should have toward these different sampradayas and groups that we're in, that we're preaching in, if they're prominent in an area, that should probably be discussed among the leading devotees in a particular area. If you're in Maharashtra and you're finding this sampradaya, they're prominent, and then what should be our approach with them? Probably the leaders should discuss and have some policy as we're going to come in contact with them and their leaders and their followers. In preaching, there are different approaches. there is, broadly speaking, we can say there is the aggressive approach which distinguishes truth from illusion, and another is an accommodative approach in which we try to make friends with people. And I've discussed all this again in this book on Speaking Strongly. Both have their merits. It's not that we should always be fighting with people. Also, we shouldn't also be accommodating with people. If we actually want to benefit people, we have to give them the message of the truth. We don't find that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, among the upper sampradayas, he said, well, at least they're chanting Hare Krishna, so just be friendly with them. He took a very aggressive approach to point out that it's not all right what they're doing. Although he did appreciate, for instance, the caste Goswamis who were actually practicing seriously. He appreciated that. He didn't... If caste Goswamis didn't promote that they are the only ones qualified to initiate, then he would appreciate that. He wasn't against them just because they were born in a certain family, but because of any misconceptions they were promoting, which influence people to misunderstand the actual process of devotional service. So, a bit of both should be there. It's sometimes we think that, well, if we're just nice with people, that they'll come to appreciate and then grant. But that's not necessarily true. We have to speak the message also. That can be done via books. It can be done via magazine, Back to Godhead magazine is especially meant to, you have that in Marathi, it's especially meant to address issues that we face in the world around us, and to give Shastric light on that. In Back to Godhead, at one point, in the Back to Godhead magazine at one point during Srila Prabhupada's presence, there was something, is actually quoting from Srila Prabhupada's lecture in which he gave to his own disciples. It was a private lecture in that sense. It wasn't a public lecture, in which Srila Prabhupada quoted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving some joking criticism of Vallabhacharya, and that caused a much discontent among the followers of Vallabhacharya, some who had been very supportive of Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada managed the situation, but he told the Back to Godhead editors that they should be more sensitive in what they published. So it may say that I'm not, it may seem that I'm not giving a very clear answer here. I'm not, because We have to see the, like I say, the leaders in that area should get together. We should see the overall situation and decide what's best to do. We should state the truth, but we may do so in a manner that doesn't directly attack anyone. For instance, in a public meeting, in a public program, say if you go in a village in Maharashtra and there are many people of the Varkari Sampradaya, that's what it's called, the followers of Tukaram. Instead of saying that this Sampradaya is bogus because they drink tea, you could say it in a, make the same point, but without directly attacking. For instance, you could say that the goal of life is to love Krishna, to develop our dormant love for Krishna, and to do that we have to cultivate the principles anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam, to accept everything that is favorable for advancing in Krishna consciousness and to... Did that? And to reject all that is unfavorable. And then we could say that Srila Prabhupada, he taught us these principles. It might seem extreme, but on the other hand, we can see that even though, for instance, tea drinking, it's not a major sin, but it means that at least when we're drinking tea or thinking about drinking tea, our attention is diverted from the principle of pure devotional service. We become at least partially the slaves, we become the dasa of tea. Another thing is we can't offer it to Krishna. We should only take food that is offered to Krishna. So in this way, we can introduce the topic. And then if people ask, well, they say, well, our guru drinks tea, and in our tradition we drink tea, and it may become sensitive, but you what to do? You can't avoid. So then you have to say, well, you may do, but still the principle stands. If you're drinking tea, it's not anything that's going to help us in our bhakti. And it's not a major thing, but it would be better to only do that which is pleasing to Krishna. That is the vow of a pure devotee. As for their mayavad, that's a major problem everywhere, all over the world, and that should be a staple point of our preaching everywhere. In that, this idea that everything is all one, you ultimately become one with God, or you are God, and this is the kind of thing everywhere we have to preach against this. If we're not doing that, then we're not properly representing our acharyas who have taken a very strong stand against this poison of mayavad. So it's not that at every moment, in every lecture, or every time we speak, we have to be against mayavad, but it should be there prominently. Okay.